Welcome to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication.
Good afternoon, good morning, good night, whenever you're listening. This is Leaders in Sustainability, a series of podcasts by Trianon Scientific Communications. I'm Marcus.
I'm Audrey.
And this week we're honored to have with us Paul Davey, an eminent chemist working in the field of sustainable development. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon, for me anyway.
So let's jump right in. You as a chemist, what have you done in sustainable development? What is your background?
Well, I started off as a chemist, did my degree at Oxford, working with George Fleet as my postgraduate, then joined the pharma industry, spent 5 years as a radiochemist, but because of the particular situation, also I worked in scale-up. So everything from a milligram of starting material to 100 kilos, which was good experience. And when one of the ever-present mergers and acquisitions happened, I got deacquired and had to find a new job, and I started working in the fragrance and flavor industry, and I've been there ever since.
Okay.
I see.
Well, can you tell us what sustainability means for you?
It's essentially a way of making materials that are useful to people, from raw materials that can be sourced from a renewable source, so from agriculture mostly, or from a waste product from another process to make it more effective.
Okay.
So I think that's what I would claim as sustainability, but I think we may discuss later there are many different definitions.
Yeah, there certainly are.
Mm. You, Paul, as a citizen of the world, what do you do on a daily basis to be a sustainable citizen?
Well, now I'm just retired. My daily basis is to do things like recycling. So from a household, everything that can be recycled is, as far as I know. But on a broader perspective, not a lot. I don't travel so much, but then neither does anybody these days. So the whole world has gone more sustainable that way. Whether that will continue or just swing back, I suspect, in due course.
Okay. Well, it's already, not everybody recycle at home, so it's already something that's good.
But I mean, also the fact that if we all do a little, it adds, there's a lot of us, it adds up to quite a big contribution.
Exactly. Indeed it does.
Yeah, we do agree with that. Let's talk about how sustainability is communicated to general public. What do you think of that? Do you think it is well addressed to the public, not well addressed?
I would say, on the whole, it's pretty poorly addressed. It seems to me that every company that tries to tell you they're sustainable has their own definition of what they mean by sustainable. And it's a definition which works for them. So it's a difficult one to do. The feeling about chemistry in particular in the broader general public is that it's bad. Which it clearly isn't. I saw a lovely example of that today on Facebook, where someone has said, which of these chemicals wouldn't you have, or would you like not like to have in your system? And went through basically the chemical components of an apple. And people were saying, oh, none of them, they're all bad. Well, don't eat apples then. And it's the understanding of what a chemical actually is that's one of the key problems, I think.
Yeah, it's true.
The Royal Society of Chemistry has £1 million prize for anyone that could come up with anything that's not made of chemicals. And no one's won it yet.
Very good, that one.
Okay, picking up on that, science in general and chemistry perhaps in particular have got a pretty bad reputation, not just these days, but for quite some time now. Why do you think that is, and what could be done about it to ameliorate the situation?
Well, I think there are two aspects. There's the education of children.
Yeah.
Science education is done well by a lot of very committed teachers, but it's not backed up by many many others. Mm. I mean, my son is a science teacher, and is obviously trying to get, and he's very committed to it, and is trying to get this understood. But chemistry, apart from the parts of chemistry which attracted me, which are the bits that go bang and whiz, which always used to be, before health and safety was a big thing, always used to be a thing that attracted kids to chemistry. Mm. That doesn't happen so much now. Mm. It's not as sexy, you know. I mean, the only sexy bit of science really is so far recently has been forensic science, because of all the advertising it gets on TV.
Yeah.
If you want to become a forensic scientist, there's a lot of competition to get into universities to study it, mm-hmm. and very few jobs when you come out. Yeah, but it's currently sexy.
It's good. Yeah, it's true. Have you seen CSI? Of course, it's sexy.
Yeah. is that real life? No.
Industry career, getting GC results in 20 seconds, that is sexy indeed.
Only to a certain proportion of the population.
Proud to belong to that one.
I mean, one of the nice things about fragrance chemistry is you make a new molecule, you can test it immediately. You smell it.
Mm.
Is it good? Well, you've got a pretty good idea of whether it's worth pursuing. That's one of the things that kept me in the business, I think.
Okay.
The fact that you can do it, you know, instead of sending it off to a biologist on a different site to do a test, which you get the result back in 6 weeks, you could smell it straight away and you'd know, was it interesting?
Okay. Have you seen, in all your years of working, a technology that you think has really changed the world and is really one of the potential technologies that will make the world more sustainable?
Well, I think that in the more general terms, one of the things which we're going to have to do a lot better is store energy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what's gone into the current generation of batteries is very good, but there's still another step to take. And I think that has already made a big difference and will do, will continue to do so, but it's not there yet.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a lot of renewable energy available from wind and solar, but it's how you get it to where you need it and how you store it for when you need it.
Mm.
And that's the real challenge.
One of the buzzwords in sustainable development and sustainable chemistry is benign by design, i.e. making molecules in such a way that their degradation products don't harm anything or anybody. Where do you see the greatest potential for this technology and where possibly the least?
Well, that's a difficult question. I think you can design a process to use the minimum energy to produce the minimum byproducts. So essentially the green chemistry definition of Paul Anastas.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to do it catalytically where possible. But it's also then how you essentially it's the life cycle of your product. Many chemicals, there is not a life cycle analysis done.
Mm.
So how do you know and how can you control where the raw materials you use came from? Because you really want to go back sort of cradle to grave, these materials.
Yeah.
And most fragrance chemicals are used by somebody else, by a customer. How do you control what they do with it? So it's all done in chunks. It's a small chunk. It's the process from the starting materials you buy to the product you sell. Mm. And you can control that, but you can't control the rest. And I think that gives a real difficulty in how to ensure that your product is sustainable.
Okay, I think with that, we've already reached the end of our questions, which brings us to our traditional magic wand question. If you had a magic wand to do whatever you please for the greater good, what would you do over the next 5 years or so?
Well, I think there are perhaps two things that my wand might achieve. One is to solve the problem of energy storage, which I've already alluded to.
Yeah.
And the other is to solve the issue of energy production by fusion,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not something that's had a lot of publicity lately. It goes in periods. There's a period when fusion is the next big thing. And then somebody has to go and do the experiments, which are not easy or cheap.
Paul, excuse me, I'm just interrupting. Can you explain to our listeners what is fusion?
Nuclear energy is fission, so where big atoms break apart and give you the energy. Fusion is where you put smaller atoms together, essentially the process that occurs in the sun, and you get a lot of energy that way, but it's difficult to do. Holding something under conditions that occur in the sun in a space where you can contain it and take the energy out safely, it's a very difficult problem to solve, but it has a big payback if you solve it.
Indeed.
Okay.
Paul, thank you very much.
You've been listening to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. If you would like to know more about sustainable development and or corporate social responsibility, please visit www.science-by-trianon.com, where you will find our blog and contact details, and where you can subscribe to our newsletter.